tune. How many of you guys, so you guys had Valentine's Day? How many of you guys went out to eat or had some food? You had a Valentine's Day dinner with your Galentine or your significant. Okay, cool. We went out to this place called Ember, and Stacy and I, we had a gift card that our serve team bought us for $100. And when you go out to dinner with a $100 gift card in your pocket, it is the best feeling ever. It's like, hey, we're going big tonight. Yes, you can add mushrooms to that steak if you want, you know, for an extra $5. Give me the shrimp, too. We had a good time. My name's Adam. I'm the lead pastor of Active Church, and I'm so glad that you are here. You braved the storm. You braved the rain, and you made it to 1035 Monterey Street, and we're going to have church today. You guys excited for church? Look to your neighbor and say, I'm excited. Look to your second choice and say, you look like you could use some church. You got some church folk. I love it. I didn't grow up in church, like traditional, like, you know, I grew up in a Catholic church, and it was great, but I never really knew what was going on, and so when you walk into church, I hope you feel encouraged. I hope you feel like you were noticed. I hope someone gave you a high five on the way in, or gave you a cup of coffee, or you saw the donut wall on the way in. I hope our greeters made you feel welcome. We do that on purpose, but here's why. Because as Allie was saying, God is crazy in love with us. And so when we show the love of God, we're not being all cheesy and trying to get all hyped up for no reason. We're trying to share the hope of the world, Jesus Christ, through the way we love and treat people. And so when you walk into Active Church, I hope you feel encouraged and loved, because we serve a great God. Amen? Well, hey, we're excited. We are in a series today. We're wrapping up a series called A Love That Lasts. And We're talking about relationships. But today, if you're not married today, this is, you know, you can lean in, because this is kind of for those that are not married. You'll get something if you're married too. We're talking about priorities. How many of you guys know you could sometimes your priorities get out of whack when you're married a little bit and you start adding babies and kids, and it's tough. But today we're gonna be talking about priority and the principle of prioritization in relationships. So I'm excited for that. I believe it's gonna help you in your endeavors as you go about whether you're married or not married. I think it'll help you. But before we do that, today is growth track step number 2. So you have a great chance. Yes. Give it up for growth track. Come on. What's growth track? I don't know what you're saying. What's growth track? Growth track is our front door to the church. Everything that happens on Sundays is intentional. There are people been here since 5:30 a.m., our serve team, setting up the stage, setting up, pipe and drape, setting up our kids area. We rally together every single Sunday, but here's the reality. We want you to be part of this. We want you to use your gifts in the body of Christ. That's kind of how God designed this whole thing, is that we're all better together. And so if you want to find out how you can be a part of this church, how you can pray for this church, how you can serve at this church, and kind of we can find out more about you and what you're all about, Growth Track is that environment. Growth Track is a chance for us to connect. We have lunch, we talk about the church, we talk about kind of how we structure things, and then you get an idea of like, okay, is this the church for me? Is this for my family? And if you're like, hey, it's not, let me know, because I want you to be plugged into a church. I don't care if it's, I hope it's Active Church, right? I love our church, but I want you guys to be plugged into a church where you're receiving, not only receiving, but you're giving, you're contributing. And so Growth Track happens today at about 11:45, 11:50, right at our community, or our Active Kids, which is the library, our community room, and you can go over there right after church, get a free lunch, free childcare, and you don't even have to sign up, you can just show up. So let's do that today, Growth Track Step 2. All right, we're going to go ahead and jump right in today, and we got some stuff to talk about. I'm pretty excited. You guys doing good? Cool. Let me go ahead and pray, and we'll jump right in. Father God, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for such a time as this, God, that you brought us all here. And Lord, it's not to hear me talk, it's to hear from the living God, to hear from you, Lord. So speak to us now, use me as a vessel, and we thank you for what you're going to do in advance. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. All right, okay, so we'll talk to the ladies for a second. Ladies, how many of you guys, when you were younger, you dreamed of having what your wedding day would be like? You dreamed there'd be like, raise your hand, you could do it. You kind of dreamt about it. You dreamt about your dress. You dreamt about maybe what you would, you know, where you would be, a beach, I don't know. Okay, all right. That was your dreams of your wedding before, you know, when you're young, right? Guys, when you were in high school, what did you think about when you were going to be able to get married? What was the thing that you thought about? I guarantee it wasn't probably the wedding dress. Maybe it involved that, but it was more than that. And what you could do, right, after that, after you got married. Some of you guys are still dreaming, right? Hasn't happened, or it has happened, and you're still waiting for that to... Well, I'm going to tell you something real quick. There's a problem with marriages. 50% of them are broken, don't work, and end in divorce. And that's not just like, you know, Christians, we like to look at like those non-Christians. They're all doing bad. We're doing good. No. This is a epidemic in the Christian world as well. It's as if there is a epidemic and no one really knows what to do about it. And I believe the Bible has answers. I believe with my whole heart, because when I do what's intuitive, you guys know this, when I do what's intuitive, meaning what feels natural, it oftentimes ends up hurting me, right? But the things that I don't want to do, the things when I look at the Bible and go, that doesn't make sense, but I do it, my life is blessed. It's as if God has answers to your problems. And I believe that marriage today, if you're married today, there's a 50% chance that your marriage isn't going to make it. Aren't you glad you came to church today? You're like, oh, wow, that's what I needed. But here's the deal. If you knew that today you're going to leave this place and there was a 50% chance you're going to be attacked by a mountain lion and your family was there with you, you would take precaution, right? If you knew that there was a 50% chance that your kids were going to get in a car accident, you'd be like, put a helmet on. You would wrap them up with bubble wrap. They'd be going outside like, okay, Mom. But why is it that when there's a 50% chance of something that's so valuable, our marriages, but we don't do anything to protect it? We just hope for the best. There's countless hours of girls right now, countless hours on thenot.com planning their perfect day. Spending weeks and months planning a single day, but not spending an ounce of energy planning the rest of their marriage. Guys, too. And we go into marriage thinking, this is going to be awesome, but then we realize marriage is hard work. Marriage is two people coming together that are both kind of jacked up in their own special way, trying to figure life out. And sometimes you can get to a point in your marriage and go, what are we doing? How did we get here? And I believe that God today, if you lean in, God wants to help you so you, if you're there, he can get you to a place of health. But if you aren't there yet, you haven't said, I do, or you want to say, I do again, you're going to remarry one day, God wants to help us with this if we're going to have a love that lasts. Is a great marriage possible? Absolutely, yes. Is it possible without God? I don't know. Highly doubt it. And I think too many people are going into marriage, which is a spiritual union, with no spiritual backing, no spiritual understanding of what God wants to do. And so we want to talk about priority today. We're going to talk about this as we look at our last week. So there's a problem, I think, that's perpetuated by like Disney and all these other, you know, our social constructs, which is, I just can't wait to find the one. He's going to be so handsome and he's going to be so this, or she's going to be so beautiful and she's going to love kids. And the one, when I see her, when I see him, our eyes are going to lock. We're going to hear like an Ed Sheeran song playing in the background. And we're just going to fall madly in love. And then we're going to get married. And that's why the Disney movies end in Happily Ever After. They don't ever show you what happens. Because it's not Happily Ever After. There's work. And what happens is you get this idea of the one stuck in your brain. I can't wait till I find the one. I can't wait till I marry the one, the one, the one. And here's the reality. You spend your whole life looking for the one. I don't think that's reality. I think the idea of the one is a flawed, it's a fallacy. You can't find the one, because if Mary is supposed to meet John, or is supposed to marry John, but John marries Cindy, guess what? Now the whole thing's messed up. There's no more the one. So what does God want us to do when we're focusing on the one, the one, the one? I hope today that you realize that your life will not be fulfilled when you find the one. That you today would sit and take a posture and say, while I'm waiting for the one that I think I'm the one, that I will really pursue I will really pursue and lean into God so that when he becomes my number one, I will find my two. Because if you get that out of order and God becomes number two, three, four, five on the list, and you don't make him number one, then the right person will come in your life, but you will not be the right mate for them. And so often we're looking for the one, and God's saying, why not make me number one? Keep me number one, and when you find the right person, they will be your two. Here's the principle if you're taking notes today. God is your number one, and your spouse is your two. God is your one, and your spouse is your two. Jesus was asked a question by a bunch of Pharisees one time. He says, they say, hey, teacher, what's the greatest commandment of all? Jesus says, oh, that's a great question. It's pretty simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and the second's like it. What's that, they said? Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, now follow me. What's Jesus saying? He's saying there's a pattern to love. There's a pattern to relational love, too. If you can't first love God, you'll never be able to love someone else the way that God's called you to love them. If you can't first put God in the position of, God, you are my number one, I'm putting you at the first place, then no matter who comes into your life, whether it's Mr. Right or Mr. Right Now, Mrs. Right, Mrs. Right Now, whoever comes in, if God's not placed at the priority of your life, you will constantly, be looking for them to fill a need that they cannot fulfill in your life. So we put God as our one and our spouse as our two. So what do? There was a story of a young girl. She was telling her mom, she went to college and she went to a party. She kind of got into the party scene and she started kind of walking away from her faith. She was living her life the way she wanted to live it. She's partying, drinking, all that stuff. And she meets a dude at this frat party and says, oh my gosh, she tells her mom later, mom, I met the perfect guy. He's amazing. He's charming. He's handsome. He's everything I want in a man. And she said to her daughter in a very loving tone, honey, that's fine, but what would he want with you right now the way you're living? Could you imagine? Her mom telling her, what you're doing right now, there's no reason he'd want to be with you. And I think so oftentimes we are trying to look for the number one. We're trying to look for that person, but God's trying to get a hold of us to say, why don't you start becoming that person that they're looking for? Start becoming the boy or girl, the man or woman that person that you want is looking for. Become the person you're looking for is looking for. Don't worry about looking for them. When you find the right person, you'll know because they're going to go, I like what I see. I like what she's doing. She's serving in church. She's helping out. That girl is like, she's so selfless. She's awesome. She's funny. She's got great friends. And all of a sudden, you're becoming the person that guy's looking for, or vice versa. And all of a sudden, your paths start going in the same direction. Don't worry about finding the one. Worry about becoming the right one. Because God has a call for your life. And if you're married, same goes. What do I mean? Sometimes we pray, and this is something that just if you're here and you're married, just act confused right now. Like, what? You pray and you say, God, would you just change my spouse? Would you just change her, man? She's always so fill in the blank. Or he's always so fill. Would you just change them, God? Why can't they see, Lord, that I'm perfect and they need to change? No, like we pray these prayers. God's saying, why not worry about what you can control and let me deal with them? Let me figure them out because he's God and we're not. Okay, so we're talking about the principle of priority. And here's your declaration. I promise God will be my first priority and my spouse will be my second. If you get this right before you're married, people, you will have a good, healthy foundation to start on. There was a time where Adam didn't have an Eve, right? Adam had no helper. He had no one suitable in Genesis. And God looked down and said, this guy, he needs some help. Guys, can I get an amen? He needs some help. He's not doing too good. So what happens? In Genesis 2:24, here's what happens. We have this moment where in Genesis 2:24, where God is seeing what's going on. And here's what he says. That is why a man, everyone say man, a man leaves his father and mother
and is united to his wife. A man's supposed to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Leave and cleave. Come together. That you no longer are, you still honor mom and dad. You still love your parents. But you're no longer designed. You're not, your sole purpose isn't to just to bring honor to your parents. Now you have a new family, a new wife. And it says he's united to his wife and they will become one flesh. One flesh. They come together as one. The word leaves in the Hebrew is, the root word is azab. It means to loosen or relinquish. It means that no longer are you tied to this family, that you're still connected, but now you've cleaved to your wife. You become one with your spouse. Here's what happens. God is one. Your spouse is number two. And what you do when you put God in the place of your spouse, and you lower your, or you put your spouse in the place of where God's supposed to be, here's what will happen. You guys are two. You guys are united. God's the head. But if you take your spouse and go, okay, I'm going to put you above God, you will begin to idolize your spouse and try to serve their needs and not serve God's needs. And what will happen is you will find yourself stuck in a place where you're trying to, one minute you're idolizing them and the next minute you're demonizing them. One minute you're like, so when you guys first started dating, right, you're like, oh my gosh, he's so organized. He's so like, he's just like, got a, everything's had a place for everything. And he's just so like clean and he's just so responsible. I love that. And then you're married a few years. You're like, gosh, you're so boring. Why don't you do something? Let's go out. Take me out on a date. Come on, plan something, right? You're demonizing. One minute you're like, man, she's so like awesome. She's such a free spirit. Like, I just love her. She just goes with the flow. And then you're married for a few years and you demonize. You're like, man, she can't. Can she just cook a meal for once? Could she just make a good dinner? And you're all of a sudden, you start looking at all the things that they're not, because you're trying to get something from them that God said, I never wanted you to put them as an idol, because there's something that only I can give you if you lean into me. But you, if you put something else there, it's called an idol. So what do we do? Well, you add kids into that. You add all sorts of stuff, and guess what? There's no time for each other. And all of a sudden, you realize that you are not in a good place. And I've talked to people, lots of people. I've prayed with people on their deathbeds. And I think about marriage, and I think about priorities. No one on their deathbed wishes they had more money. No one on their deathbed wishes they would have gone and had more awards at work. No one on their deathbed wishes that they would have gone to more meetings and gone to more conventions for their, in their field, so they could be recognized. You know what people care most about when they're on their deathbed? They care about the people they love and where they're going. If you want to be a person that lives with priority, then you need to think now, what's the most important thing I could be doing with my life right now? It's this. I said this at pre-huddle. I'll say it again. You're designed to know God more and more every single day and glorify him. That's what you're called to do. To know God more and more every single day and glorify him. The second is to love the people that God's put in your life to love. So when we look at our marriages, if that's not at the, if that's out of whack, if there's anything else that's it's at number one, then there will be some problems. There's going to be some struggles. I know that when we were first married, my wife and I, Stacy, I love my wife so much. She's my better half, literally. And she was pregnant. And I was a youth pastor. And so I was like, okay, like, you're pregnant, you're at home, you're good. And I would be out 5 nights a week. I'd be at football games, I'd be at events, I'd be out taking kids to In-N-Out. Like, I love my life. I'm like, this is great, right? And I came home one evening after Hadley had already been born, and she was probably 6 months old. And I remember Stacy was just like, this isn't working. Like, you're out all the time. And I remember thinking to myself, why doesn't she understand, like, I'm doing the Lord's work here? Like, doesn't she understand, like, God, and I was wanting to go there, but then all of a sudden it hit me. This is a lifelong commitment. These students are awesome, but guess what? They're not going to be with me in 10 years. Guess who is? My wife. And so what I started realizing was I was giving my free time to giving it away to every single person, and I was ignoring my spouse. I was ignoring my wife. I was giving her my leftovers. So we made a rule. We made a rule. No more than three nights out a week. No more three. We won't do three. So we sat down. We figured out a solution to our problem. And I was making my wife feel like she wasn't even second on my list. I was like sixth or seventh. You got to figure out if you're married today and you're not giving, if God isn't one and your spouse isn't two, you got to figure out what you need to change so that you can begin making some differences. And if you're not married, if you're dating and you see a cute guy, but God is not even on his radar, and all of a sudden he starts coming to church because he thinks you're cute, that, guess what? Nine times out of ten, that doesn't work. Nine times out of ten. You're like, if you're here with that girl right now, just act like, I don't know what you're talking about, bro. I'm here for the Lord. You know who you are. What, girls, can you just do me a favor? Watch a guy for a little bit. Not on his Instagram story. Watch his life. Watch how he flows. Ask questions like, so who is Christ to you? What's Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? That's a great question. Ask him, hey, what's God been speaking to you? Girls, guys, ask girls that question. Hey, so who is God to you? Who is Jesus Christ to you? Watch them from a distance, because here's why. When you get married, and you just because you get married at a church by a pastor doesn't mean you become this Christian couple. You got to be equally yoked. And you got to make a vow to put your spouse not as one, but as two. God's number one, your spouse is number two. Does that make sense? Oftentimes, it's the things that are not bad that destroy marriages. They're just out of priority. Oftentimes, good things can kill good marriages. But when those good things are out of priority, for example, your kids. I love my kids. Hadley and Brixton are I would do anything for them. Hadley is the most beautiful girl in the world. Brixton is a stud. I love these kids. I genuinely love hanging out with my family, my kids. But guess what? They are a temporary assignment. My wife is a lifelong commitment. The kids, mom and dad, when dad comes home, mom gets the first kiss. I made this rule. Mama gets the first kiss. Why? Because I want my kids to know that I love you, but your mom is my girlfriend. And she was here before you, and she will be here after you, and this is the woman I'm in love with. And although I love you, one day you're going to go and serve Jesus and get out of my house and do awesome things for the Lord in Jesus' name. And we're going to go on vacation without you guys. And then we'll all hang out still. But the reality is, mama gets the first kiss. Why? Because she's my number one outside of God's my number one. She's my number two. And my kids fall in line as three and four. You all have your favorite. Don't lie. You love them both, but you got your favorite. No, I'm just joking. I love you, Hadley. I love you, Brixton. So things that destroy marriages aren't bad things. They're good things that are not prioritized correctly. So what do? You fight to keep your marriage as the number one priority. It's God and then your marriage. God and then your marriage. God and then your marriage. If your kids, listen, your kids, you love your kids, and they need attention, and you need to raise them up right. But I've seen more people, after 20 years of marriage, the kids are out of the house, and they're like, who are you? I've seen it. We've counseled people that are like, yeah, my spouse and I are miles apart because they didn't date throughout the raising up the kids. They didn't get to know each. They didn't stay connected, because you will change. And I'm not a marriage expert. You change after time. Things change physically. Your personality type can change a little bit. But if you don't stay close to your spouse while you're raising your kids, and you put them as number one over your spouse and over God, then what will happen is you will end up broken. God doesn't want that. So what do? I'm going to give you one big idea, and then we'll get out of here, okay? Number one is protect the priorities. Everyone say protect. Protect your priorities. I kiss Stacy first. Why? Because she gets the first kiss, because that's my priority. It's God's my one, Stacy's my two. What do? You need to protect them. If you want your children to see a good, healthy marriage, then you need to protect your marriage. Don't put your kids first. Don't put them first. Don't put them above your spouse. Now, how many of you guys know, we talk about protect, how many guys in here you've thought about what you would do if you caught an intruder in your home? Have you guys ever thought, okay, has anyone thought this? Like, I know exactly what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to kick him right in the groin, and I'm going to, like, uppercut, right? Actually, I have a weapon, so if you come to my house, you're going to have a laser beam at you. Just, that's just reality. Just judge me. I don't care. I'm from Bakersfield. Got to have the heater, you know, right by the bed. But like, if you knew that someone was going to come into your house, like, you have, like, weapons. Like, you have, like, a baseball bat somewhere, hopefully. Like, you would protect. Like, I would die. Like, you would have to pull me off someone. If someone's trying to hurt my wife or my kids, I will literally, like, I will die trying to protect my family. And you would, too. I know you would. Something would come out inside of you, like, some crazy noises. You start, like, ah! You know, you would get, you try to kill my family. I'm like, you would go after them to do your whatever you could to protect your family from harm, wouldn't you? And girls, I'm not ignoring you either. Mama Bear comes out. You take the earrings off, it's going down. Why would we think that God doesn't want us to protect our priorities the same way? Why not take the same posture? Because there's things that are trying to rob you of your joy right now. There are relationships. Guys, there are people at the, there's gals at the office that they're giving you extra accolades. And wow, you're so awesome. That's so cool. I love how you do that. I wish I could do that. And you're like, she ain't got a ring on her finger. And you got a ring on your finger. And you're like, yeah, you like that? That's cool, huh? I'm pretty smart, yeah. Run. You protect your priorities. Girls, the same thing. You need to protect the people that you love, and you do that by protecting your priorities by doing whatever it takes. By doing whatever it takes. Guys, if it means you have to go and start looking at your calendar and going, okay, I don't need to go on this business trip. I don't need to go here. I need to go plan a date weekend. Me and my wife, we're going to go out for a weekend. We're going to go up to Monterey. Put that in the calendar. Ladies, if it means putting down your phone or doing something different and going, you know what? When my husband comes home, I'm going to spend some 30 minutes on the couch with him. Did you know that if you spend 30 minutes on the couch in front of your kids every single day, that it actually makes a huge impact in the way you raise your family? As a matter of fact, if you have kids that have been getting up out of bed, and we've had this before, where your kids get up out of bed and come in your room at night, the reason that most kids come into your room at night isn't subconsciously because they want to see mom and dad together. Do you know that? That they're actually not afraid of anything. They actually want to go in your room, and it brings them comfort when they see mom and dad close to each other. For those of you who are maybe raising kids by yourself, I want to show you that I have so much compassion for you, but that was never God's plan. That wasn't God's plan. And I'm not trying to blame people. I'm just telling you, God wants a mommy and a daddy. And sometimes that you can't do that, and that's just the way it is. But when you have a family, your kids need to see you together, talking to each other, making each other a priority. If you do that, God will bless your family, and he'll bless your kids for seeing that. That's part of his plan. Your role is to protect the priorities, to lay your life down. Husbands, this is what Paul says in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. One of the things that Stacy and I struggled with for the first, I'd say like about a year and a half into our marriage, is I'm a big words of affirmation guy, and Stacy didn't know that. And Stacy would just kind of say something, and I'm like, oh, and I would feel so hurt by the words that she would say. And so what I would do is I'd respond in an unloving way. All right, you want to do that? Fine. And I would kind of go back into my little corner. Do you know what that did? That put a gap in between our marriage for a season. Where we had to talk to some people. We had to get some help. And if you need some help, can I just tell you, the best pastors, the best leaders I know, they all have a coach helping them with their marriage. You better believe it. People have given counseling stigmas like, oh, you're going to counseling? Oh my gosh, let me pray for you. You're like, yeah. Like, did Michael Jordan have a coach? Does LeBron, like, go and train and have people with him that are helping him, like, ice him down afterwards, and people that are helping him lift so he can get stronger and faster and jump, you know, higher and be a better basketball player than Jordan ever was? I mean, could he do that? Just joking. But listen, you need a coach in your life. And if it's not a formalized coach, it could just be someone that you have a couple in your life group and you say, hey, can we like go like a little deeper and can we have you guys over for like dinner one night and get a babysitter and just like get real with some people? Like you don't need to go and sit in a big leather chair and go, well, it was October of 2014. She yelled at me. No, you don't need all that. You know what you need? You need someone that you can trust and someone that you can call and say, hey, dude, pray for me right now, man. I need you to pray for me. We're not doing good. We got in a fight. Why? Because the enemy of intimacy is secrecy. And if you feel like you can't make close friends if you're single, you feel like you can't make close friends, it's because you're hiding too much in your personal life. And if you're married and you're like, we don't have any friends, it's because you're hiding too many problems in your marriage. So the reality is, if you tell someone, you bring them in, all of a sudden there is freedom found in honesty. There's freedom in being open and real and saying, can I just tell you, like, we're not perfect? And they're like, guess what? We're not perfect either. Oh my gosh, do we become best friends? Yes, here's why. You need people. They're gonna call you out. You need people that are gonna help you. You need people. They're gonna go the distance with you. That's why we do life groups here. That's why we have life groups. Stacy and I, we are not perfect. I wish we were. We're not. We fight like everybody else. We get in arguments, we get in discussions, we talk about it, we resolve it. But guess what? We have people in our life that we're talking to our marriage about. I have a coach that I'm talking to my marriage about. Stacy has a coach. We're talking to people about our marriage. And we have a life group. It meets every other Friday night. Guess what we do? Because we're in that season of marriage and we know it's the number one thing that the enemy wants to take out, we talk about our marriages. We talk about the good things. We talk about the not so good things. You need people in your life that you could talk about your not so good things with. There's healing when you get prayed for someone. God forgives your sins when you confess them to him, the Bible says, but when you confess them to one another, you find healing. Some of you have never taken time to get to know someone enough where you could actually confess something that you've been holding on to. You just push it way down. And you suppress it. And you know how it comes out? It comes out and you drink a little too many glasses of wine. You take a few too many pills that you're only prescribed one per day, but you take a few more. When you hide stuff and you have secrets, it kills the relationships around you. That's why you need people that you can be honest with and tell people, hey, I'm struggling, pray for me. You know, the reason that we're here today is because all of us have realized that we all kind of fall short. I'm not perfect. Christians don't think they're perfect. We just think that God is and that he loves us in spite of our imperfections. And some of you are here today and you're going, the thing I don't like about church is that all those Christians, they think they're better than me. No, we don't. We actually know we're not, so we've taken a position to say, man, I'm going to surrender my life to God because I know I'm screwed up, and I'm going to allow him to work in my life. I'm going to make him the priority in my life. I'm going to die to myself so that I can be a better husband, a better father, a better friend. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to operate in my life so it's not what I want anymore. It's what God wants. I don't love you because I have to. I love you because God first loved me. I'm just a conduit of God's love. You cannot act. You will never be effective in your Christian walk until you first prioritize Jesus Christ as the first and only person that's going to sit on the throne of your life. And everything else becomes priority. The next thing, the next thing, the next thing. You can have your number 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever you want. But unless God is number one and your spouse is two, it'll never work. As we close today, I want to give you a couple things to do with your spouse every single day. Pray for your spouse every single day, even just for a minute. Hold her hand, hold his hand, and say, I pray right now, God, for Stacy. I pray, Lord, that you give her a blessed day. Help her to just help her with her thoughts, and then she'll pray for me. Pray for your spouse. Doesn't even take 30 seconds. Just pray for them. The next thing is, if you're here today and you're not in a life group, get in a group. You can go on our website or you can go to our Connect Center Next Steps. There's a bunch of groups. and some of them are kind of getting going, and some of them haven't really taken off. But if you find a group, I encourage you, get plugged into a group. If you're married, especially, get into a group. Well, you know, we're so busy. Guess what? So am I. I'm busy, but I make time for my priorities. You need to make God a priority in your life, and if you do that, you will be blessed. Get into a group. Make date night a priority. Do it. Like, make date night a priority. Husbands, you make a priority for the big game on Saturday or Sunday. Let's start putting our wives on that calendar once a week and just saying, you know what? We're gonna do dinner, and then we're gonna just go for a walk. We're gonna go walk, you know, go up to the beach and just walk on the beach. Let's just be people of priority. And let's not wait for them to be the initiator. Let's be the one. If your spouse isn't on board, say, well, hey, on Thursday night, I got plans for us, so make sure you block out your calendar. And they're like, well, make it a priority. Put her first. Put him first. Let God guide that whole thing. As God is your number one, your spouse is two. It's easy to make excuses. It's easy, but love will make a way. I think about what God could have done when he looked at the world and saw all our brokenness. Bible records that one time he just kind of got, he said, you know what, let's start over, flood, let's reset. But then he saw us in our brokenness, and we look at the life of Jesus, and we see this perfect man, God and man, a carpenter in the first century from the Middle East, who began to proclaim this radical way of the kingdom of God, and people were like, who is this Jesus? And he didn't just say, God is good. He showed the love of God through the way he loved people that were not like him. And God could have easily said, you know what? This is just, I'm going to start over again. These people are so just messed up. But you know what he did instead? He didn't make an excuse and start over. He said, you know what? This time I'm going to do it different. I'm going to go into creation. I'm going to go into the story that I've built. I've constructed the story. Now I'm going right in. And he became a man named Jesus Christ. God became flesh so that he could show you and I how we ought to love God and love people. How we ought to prioritize our life in such a way that nothing comes between me and the Father. Whatever the Father says to do, Jesus says, that's what I do. Every single morning, Jesus would get alone. Why? So he could get a message from the Father. So he can make time for his Father, his Heavenly Father, and then he could go out and do the things that God called him to do. You are a decision away from breaking through and having a life that is extraordinary because of the extraordinary love of God flowing through you. But, you have to put God first. He has to be prioritized as number one. You can make an excuse and say, I don't have time for him. I don't have time for that. But love will make a way. Will you put God as number one in your life today? Will you do that? If you're married, would you start talking to your spouse and say, you know what, we got to put God at number one. We got to get into one of those life groups. We got to do something. If you're single, would you begin to look at your life? And instead of seeking out the number one, say, you know what, I know who my one is. It's Jesus Christ. And so every single day, just seek out the person that will be your number two. You do that, I believe God will bless your life. Because excuses are easy, but love makes a way. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, that you're giving us tools to build a love that lasts. Right now, Lord, as people are praying, I pray that you'd be still and just be still as we pray. I pray right now that, God, you would do something in this place right now. I want to pray for anyone here today that is, you just say, I just need prayer. This isn't a salvation prayer right now. You're just saying, pray for me. Pray for my relationship. pray for my marriage. If that's you today, I just want to know who I'm praying for. If you need to receive from God right now for your relationships, for your life, say, just pray for me, Pastor. Raise your hand. I just want to know who I'm praying for. Yeah. God, see, yeah, hands going up everywhere. Just say, that's me. I need to hear from God. I need God to just touch me right now. When you humble yourself before God, man, that is the pathway to God's presence, is humility, saying, God, I can't do it. So I just want to pray for every single person that just raised their hand. Father, I know that this life is hard, and I know there's pressures on relationships. Gosh, there's pressures to do things before you're married, to have sex, to hook up, all these things. And God, all that stuff robs us of the ultimate joy of really knowing you closely, because sin, it enters and it breaks the union between us. And that when that happens in a marriage context, when sin gets in, it's even harder, Lord. But Lord, there is a God that can heal, and you are him, God. And I pray that every single person that just raised their hand would know, God, that you are able and willing to do whatever it takes for them, so they would know, God, that you're working in their life, God, that you want to give them something today, Lord. So deposit in them, Lord, hope and faith and peace and patience, God, so that you can begin a work in their life. And that as they draw near to you, God, you would graciously draw near to them. And I want to pray now for another group of people. Maybe you're here today and you've never been born again. That's a word that comes from the New Testament. It's not Christianese. That's a word that describes being born again. Unless a man is born again, he will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? You can't go to God and get into heaven unless you first die to yourself and are born again of the Spirit. How do you do that? The Bible says it's simple. You place your faith in the finished work on the cross of Jesus Christ, and you ask God to forgive you of your sins, and you receive him into your life to be the Lord over your life. What does that mean? That means that he gets to call the shots, because his ways are better than your ways. If you've never put God as number one in your life, I want to invite you to do that right now. When you do that, you give God access to your life. He's been trying to work in your life. He's been trying to speak to you. And for some of you, you were brought here today for just this purpose, for this very reason, that there's no coincidence that God brought you here today to Active Church. So if you're here today and you're hearing my voice and you've never put your trust and your hope in Christ and you've never made him your first priority, number one, I'm going to invite you to do that right now. On the count of three, just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you forward. I just want to pray for you right where you're sitting. If that's you and you'd like to make a decision to follow Jesus, to put him in number one, on the count of three, just raise your hand. One, two, three. Pop your hand up. Amen. 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 God's doing something right now. Raise your hand high. Say, that's me. Amen. God sees your hands. It's awesome. So good. Anybody else? Say, don't just include me in that prayer. Pastor, I need Jesus. I want to put my faith in him today. Whole church we want to pray this with you. If you raise your hand, I want you to repeat after me. And church, let's pray with our new brothers and sisters. Repeat after me, the whole church. Heavenly Father, thank you for new life. Today, I surrender my life. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me and rose again on the third day. I repent and I follow you for all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Man, give it up for all those people.